I am writing lyrics to our theme song.
What do you have so far?
I hope this is in the right key. I'm not sure. Shut the fuck up, Nick Lachey. Turns out you got nothing to say. That's all I have so far. I've been working on that for like a week.
Okay. And by the time we're done with the whole season, we'll have a song.
That's my plan.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Hi, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan.
Hi, you know, Ellen Marie Marsh, star of stage and screen and radio podcasting.
She's generous. She's generous with the word star. Keep going.
Well, listen, you have more Broadway credits than I do.
Not a Tony. Keep going.
You were in the Tim Fatterly hit movie.
It's called Better Nate Than Ever. And actually, to be real, I fucking loved that movie.
I did too. Did you read the book?
Yes, I read all of Tim's books.
Yeah. No, that movie was so sweet.
It was so sweet. For those of you who didn't see it, and I assume none of you didn't not see it, it was about a little boy dreaming to be on Broadway, but actually also he like comes out at the end, and I thought that was huge for Disney.
It was huge for Disney, and it was just so sweet, and it was really well done. And, you know, the role of the guard at the museum was, I was blown away. I was like, that person, that character has a backstory that I want to know.
Honestly, thank you so much, because in my three lines to show the arc of where I had been and where I was going was no easy feat. And I just want to say thank you for seeing me.
Yeah, I could tell it was like you had moved to New York years ago to be on the stage. It didn't work out. You were temping at the museum, and usually at night the museum is empty and all of the displays come to life and you have to keep them inside.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to cut you. That's not the film.
No, Teddy Roosevelt is Robin Williams on a horse, and there's Sacagawea.
All right. Can we edit this? Thank you.
I just want to say that I have other accomplishments besides my Tony Award, and I would like to be recognized for them. For example, I won Best Butt in sixth grade.
They had an award that was Best Butt in the sixth grade?
It wasn't official, but this is what school was like in the 90s. Like, some kid walked up to me and was like, just so you know, we took a vote and you won Best Butt.
Honestly, I can't wait for our sophomore podcast, which is, hey, let me tell you what we did in the 90s.
There was a lot of drinking Long Island iced teas at bars at like 16 years old.
We led two different lives, Daisy Egan, but we will hold that for our next podcast. But if you're here, you are most likely a fan of the hit television show on Netflix called Love is Blind, where singles meet each other or talk to each other or fall in love and they don't see each other, and it's trash and it's garbage, and Daisy Egan and I cannot get enough.
We love it so much, and it really is teaching me things about myself I never knew.
We are pillars of love and relationship advice, so stay tuned. You know what? Come for the Love is Blind and stay for the life lessons.
Right, exactly. We have done it right consistently throughout our romantic lives.
Oh, and I should also say, before we dive into the episode, it is Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday, the Day of Atonement, which, good luck to all of you. I don't have sins to atone for, but, like, good luck with you guys, you know?
Also, I'm the Jew in this duo.
You didn't know it was Yom Kippur? Let's dive into episode 3.
Let's do it.
So we left off with JP and Taylor in our suspenseful cliffhanger. We're waiting for those doors to open so that they can see each other for the first time. I need to ask you a question, and I do have ADHD, so it is entirely possible that I missed this. I missed the evolution of the nickname Sugar Butt.
I think it was just that she likes it.
Okay, because she was like, sugar butt, and he was like, sugar. And I was like, did I blink or fall asleep for 2 minutes?
She was like, do you like any pet names? Do you have any pet names that you call people? And he said, no. And she was like, I like sugar butt and sugar. You know, I thought it was cute, but also like, I wait until I know the person to have a pet name.
Do you have a pet name for Kurt? And does he have a pet name for you?
I call him so many things. I call him Kurtrude. I call him Kurtrude Stein. I call him Kurtois. I call him...
That's funny.
I just, it's ridiculous how many things I call him. And then he just calls me Days.
Right, because he's a man and men are not capable of nuance and emotion. I don't mean to like one-up you, yeah. But can I tell you what my ex-husband used to call me? It was Please. Actually very precious. It was cunt.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet.
That's a true story.
Yikes.
So JP and Taylor run to each other. They hug, they kiss. JP plants a big old kiss on her. They seem happy.
Yeah, they do. There was no suspense. We knew they were going to think each other was the bee's knees. But can we talk about JP's kissing style?
Okay.
Because I was uncomfortable. It was aggro.
Was it the rapid fire, the kiss, 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 kiss?
I wrote, woof, I am worried about the way he kisses her. And then Taylor, first of all, he looks like... He is a chicken going for a beetle in the dirt. It is bizarre. Just, it's the head bob and it's the like really hard.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a second. Not yeah. because I don't agree with you, but like maybe like a passionate tongue kiss would make someone nervous on national
sure.
TV.
But there's a happy medium, I think, between like the weird chicken peck and the like tongue down your throat. Taste my immune system.
No, I'm not going to ever not see a chicken pecking and looking for a beetle in the dirt. Thank you for that.
You are welcome.
And then he gets down on one knee and proposes. Mm-hmm. That's part of the game. And yep. they seem happy with each other's looks at first sight. And they sit down and they're obviously very nervous. I can't even imagine how awkward this is. And he says, like, I'm the luckiest man in the world. He's very, very sweet. And she says that one of her eyelashes was going to fall off. And she's like, they're fake. And I was like,
girl,
women, do you know that men don't notice that shit? Women dress for women. Eyelashes, yeah. nails, hair extensions. Men don't notice shit. They're like, does it have tits? Does it have a hole? I'm good. A man would fuck a bologna sandwich out of desperation. Okay?
Yeah, that is absolutely true. She could walk away, take all of it off and come back and he wouldn't notice.
Absolutely. And I'm saying, like, look beautiful. I love dressing up, but know that you're dressing up for the validation of other women. When a woman tells me I look beautiful, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Men don't right. notice shit. Love you, Taylor. Keep going with your fake eyelashes. He doesn't know. But then maybe the, like, weirdest, most awkward, you know, when a dog goes, thing happens.
What does he say? It doesn't matter. You're beautiful. And Taylor says, looks don't matter to me anymore.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting turn of phrase.
To say the least. I was like, and then she follows that up with a shitty backhanded compliment about his teeth. Yeah. I mean, I love, she's like, and I don't even mind the gap in his teeth. I was like, A of all, I didn't even notice.
No.
And Thule, you can notice that, but like, let's not say the inside part outside on national television. It's just low key shade. And she's like, you just can't judge people by how they look. But what are we saying?
Yeah. Who have you dated in the past? This guy is perfectly reasonable. He looks nice. I have an obsession with teeth because of my own teeth.
Totally.
And I did not notice it.
Yeah. And she doesn't even know about the American flag yet. Okay. So she's just talking about the teeth and she's like, he's cute. And she's really driving home the point that she still loves him. I mean, looks don't matter, which is weird because they've always mattered before. And he might be a bridge troll and that's totally fine. But I love him because I fell in love with him and I love this experiment. And it's fine that I'm not attracted. I was like,
yeah.
It was so out of pocket.
It was bizarre. And also, again, like, look, I know you're making TV, but also, like, girl, he's going to see this.
Yeah. I don't know what the future holds for them. I just was like, she's like, look, I'm not shallow anymore. He is totally ugly and I still kissed him on the mouth. I received his peckles on my face like a chicken and it's fine. Girl, don't say the inside parts out loud.
Now I want to go to her Instagram and look at who she dated in the past, because it must have been fucking, I don't know, Colin Farrell. Like, who is she dating that this guy is not cute?
Whoever it is, we're diving. We're going to go back. It doesn't matter. We're going to go back 119 weeks. We're going to do that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now we see the women back in the living quarters, and we see a woman we absolutely have never seen. Her name is Paige, allegedly. She's a stylist, allegedly. I only know that because her lower third told me that. And also there's a woman who's new to the world called Linda. I was like, hey, guys.
Uh-huh. Thanks for being here and driving the conversation forward. We appreciate you.
Makes me laugh every time. Oh, God, I'm like, who are you?
Right. I wonder if there's enough crew people, camera people, that they don't know that they're not being really featured, like, yet. Like, maybe they are being filmed just as much as the other women, but I have to imagine by this time, at least whittled the crew down to be like, look, just follow these four.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what am I still doing here? You haven't come into one of my dates. You haven't done a confessional in weeks.
Paige is like, I made it on episode 3. Yes.
I don't know. Stacy's talking to Evelyn.
I don't know who the woman she's talking to is. It's another woman we've never seen.
She's talking to a lady.
Who are you talking to? A lady? Mind your business. It's a lady.
A lady. She says Johnny is being territorial about Izzy. And I didn't even know that's who her top pick was. And I'm like, well, how is she being territorial and you didn't know who her top... Like, it can't be both of those things, right?
Something I noticed also could be in editing is that Stacy keeps everything close to her chest. She doesn't seem like she's talking about the experience. I don't know if that's a tactic. I don't know if that's editing, but they're whispering because I guess Johnny is around. Yeah, I don't think Stacy has really talked about her experience in the pods with the other women the way the other women have shared. Do you get that vibe?
I do get that vibe. And I also get another vibe about Stacy, which I think will come up a little later. I'm not even sure she's capable of like relaying her experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to put up with Stacy.
I think she's here to stay. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't gone forward. And Stacy says to the nameless woman who we've never seen before, can I read you a poem I wrote for Izzy? And while I admit that Izzy is a really hard word to rhyme, because I don't like Stacy, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say the poem sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. But I also couldn't tell if she knew that it was like if she was doing like a waka waka or if she was like, listen to this. I'm going to be the next poet laureate of the United States.
I think it's probably the former, but I'm not giving her any grace because I don't feel like it. And it's our podcast and I can do whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what is she going to spend the $5 to listen to this pod? I don't think so. So we're kind of like in the clear here.
She needs that money for the makeup.
So now Stacy and Izzy are on a date, and the time comes where they're going to start asking the hard-hitting questions, because remember from episode 1, Izzy was like, you're fun, but let's get deeper.
Are you starting to picture a future with me?
It's a build. It's a build of trust, and me getting to know you first, to trust what you're saying, and to trust myself to open up and tell you things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm at that point now. I haven't connected like this with someone. I can't even tell you how long. That's why it scares me. It kind of feels like, I wrote this down. This is how I described it. You make me feel like my lungs and my heart are fighting against each other. That's how, like, it's just like my heart's pounding, but it's not in a bad way.
And then she asks his biggest insecurity, and he said, someone not to love me the way I love them. I still think Izzy is really needy. That's not an insecurity. That's a fear.
Right.
Like,
right.
Insecurity is like your ear hair or something.
Right. I'm bald. Like,
right. That's a fear. We all have a fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
We all have a fear of rejection. Like, you guys are talking very, very macro and not very micro.
Right. And she says, like, oh, my God, me too. I'm also scared of abandonment. It's like, bitch, we're on this planet.
I'm scared of you literally turning off the FaceTime and leaving me in the next 5 minutes. We are all constantly walking around with fear.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel that Izzy is needy. I feel like he is a very insecure man masking as a fuckboy.
Oh, yeah. And I think that Stacy is a terrible choice for him if that's how he how they go, because look, we haven't seen them together in person, but I have a feeling that she has trouble reading people's emotions. I have trouble thinking that she can respond to people's emotions. She can't even identify her own. She everything is physical with her. Everything is like, my heart is beating out of my chest. My skin is hot. It's not like I feel nervous. My heart is beating fast. So if he's needy, it's going to be rough.
It's so refreshing being with another person yourself that we're so much better than everyone else.
Oh, God. I mean, we are the most of all.
Yeah. It's refreshing to be with someone, because sitting on my couch in my fucking day robe, judging these people and knowing how superior we are is, it's fucking lit.
Yeah. Eating a sandwich off my own chest while I'm watching.
Wondering if that popcorn on your lap is from today or yesterday, and eating it the fuck anyway. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. Ate it, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Take a picture. It'll last longer. So now we go to Aaliyah and Uche's date. Buckle in.
Aaliyah says that she wants to open up some more and share some secrets. And I have to be honest, I like gripped the blanket when that happened. I was like, girl, I don't think you should do that.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I shouldn't have done that again, you know.
Exactly. She says that she likes to touch the elbow skin. Listen, we all have a thing. She likes to touch the elbow skin. I don't know if she meant her own or someone else's. And he says, the weenus? And he says it like, no, that is called the weenus. Is it actually?
No, Daisy, that is actually called the weenus. He is right. It is. That is your weenus. And do you know the weenus has no nerve endings, and you can squeeze it as hard as you want and you won't feel pain? That's also a fact. I know so much useless information. Yeah, squeeze it.
Why don't people get their weenuses, or is it weeni? Why don't they get them pierced?
Try it, Daisy. Report back. Now, also, she's drinking. I haven't had a time to explain this to you, and this is actually real. So on Love is Blind and Ultimatum, you'll notice that they drink out of these gold and silver chalices. And I've seen so many people ask why, and I actually do know the real reason. And the reason why they have them in that chalice is for continuity, so that they can edit however they want. Yeah. So you never see someone drinking red wine and then a vodka spritzer or a little bit of drink. And then, because they edit this shit within an inch of their life. Lest I remind you of Cutie Gate 2 seasons ago with Cole and Zainab, we need to recap that. Ugh. You and I had a full on 6 hour mega meeting about that. I'm going to be honest. When I don't like someone, everything they do bothers me. So I understand that I am fishing right now. But Aaliyah says she likes to eat Splenda packets and honey. And then Uche says this.
Why?
I don't know.
You just get like a spoonful of honey and put a Splenda pack on it?
No, it's separately. I'm just saying those are weird things that I just like to eat all on its own.
Who the hell are you, Winnie the Pooh?
Okay, number one, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm changing the title of this podcast today to Shut the Fuck Up, Uche. Also, don't yuck her yum. You have so many red flags that you have tossed in my direction. Everything you say is disgusting, and I'm mad at him. It's not that I hate him. I don't know him. I just haven't found a reason to like him yet. Okay?
Yeah, he hasn't given us much to grab onto.
First of all, loads of people eat honey. And why are you doing this? Everybody eats weird things. I eat hard-boiled eggs with goddess dressing. I love it. So then she says that she likes to look in while her partners are showering. I was like, okay, she's being a little sexy, a little cheeky. And then he says this.
Ain't no free shows around here, girl. Just be peeking in the shower.
I like to
peek. I'll have to charge you by the minute.
I was like, okay, again, you just keep shooting her down every time she tries to share something. And then she was like, what are the weird things about you? I could have predicted it. I didn't need a crystal ball. I felt like some of those psychics on TV. He says, I don't have any weird things about me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all do. Yes, you fucking do. I like all of my clothes facing the same way. I take my garbage out every time I leave my house. My car is a fucking disaster. Whatever it is, we're all fucking weird. Again, it was a power move. You're weird. I'm not. I'm normal. You're crazy. It was so strategic. It was so transparent. I see right through you, dude. So now we're back in the women's quarters and they're getting really deep. They are doing the cha-cha slide. Honestly, I don't know another dance that can bring people together like the cha-cha slide. Is there one?
No, that's it. Oh, the chicken dance. Those are the two.
The thing about the cha-cha slide is it's so much more sophisticated than the chicken dance. There's so much more choreography. There's so many more directions to follow. Like, do you know how to Charlie Brown? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the thing that will unite our country is the cha-cha slide.
Okay, that's fair. That's all we need.
Now the boys are having an actual deep conversation. While the girls are next door fucking doing, can you go down low all the way to the flow? And Milton says he loves Lydia and will probably propose. Now, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, if I were to ever run for Congress, this would be my platform. Don't get married young. That would be my platform. Milton, as a reminder, is 24 years old. The thing is, I can see the DMs now because people are going to say, I got married at 20 and like we worked our life out. Absolutely. Live your life. I'm just saying personal development is so ongoing. Yeah. I don't know shit about shit, but I can firmly say that you are not the same person you were in your 20s, as you were in your 30s, as you are in your 40s. There's so many differences. Your priorities shift. What you enjoyed in your 20s is going to differ significantly. I look at my 20-year-old self and I laugh at her. I mean, she was hilarious. But I'm going to go and say that I feel like most successful marriages and really any kind of successful long-term relationship takes emotional skills and self-awareness that young people often lack. Please vote for me for Congress in 20, whatever comes after this one, because I need some time.
Yeah, you gotta, I think you need to condense that down into like a really concise statement, but I'm with you 100%. And again, this doesn't mean that your marriage, your listener that started at 20 is a sham. We're just saying in general, please wait.
He's 24. I just want to be like, there is so much debauchery, bad decisions, crazy shit to happen between the ages of 24 and 100. But now Lydia and Milton are on a date.
Yeah, they're on a date. Milton is so adorable. And I really feel like they are in two separate relationships. They are having two completely different relationships.
That is a perfect way to describe their relationship. Yes.
Lydia seems to be trying so hard to like make it a thing. Like, it's just she's working too hard, I think, to psych herself up. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I love you.
He buys her like a bee, like B-E-E. It looks like a blow up bee. And then they start talking about rocks. You know, there is a lid to every pot.
There is a lid for every pot.
Yeah, talk about rocks. Get whatever gets you off. There's somebody out there who's gonna love the crazy shit that you love.
And then Lydia asks him what his biggest trauma was, has been in life, right?
Right. Not before he casually mentions that he's a competitive Pokemon player, which honestly, I didn't know that was a thing, but this is an educational podcast, so here we are. And then they go straight from Pokemon to trauma.
I remember I was playing basketball with some friends at the gym. I was in like 8th, 9th grade. I remember coming down and be like, damn, my back kind of hurts. But I didn't think anything of it, you know? It kept hurting. My school, we had like a scoliosis check. And they were like, Milton, your spine is fucked up. It caused my spine to like start collapsing on itself. Like when your spine starts to like to bend, there's too much pressure on certain internal organs. And I started going to like organ failure. And they were like, Milton, you have to have surgery within 6 months.
I have scoliosis, and that hasn't happened to me. So it's not like a foregone conclusion, but he ended up with 12, like, pins, I guess, in his spine, and he wasn't able to walk for a while, right?
Yeah, and then he tells us that he's going to die young because of his height.
Yeah.
You heard it here. Tall people die young.
Right.
And he asks her what her greatest accomplishment is. She says it's her degrees. Good on you. We love an educated queen. She's got a master's.
Yeah.
And she said she worked full time while she was getting her master's. Now, Milton says something interesting. He says that they don't come from the same background. Did you get the feeling that he was saying that he came from money?
Yes. I think that he hasn't had to struggle in that way.
I was kind of getting that vibe. Because she worked her way through college and through her master's working full time in a restaurant, like a lot of us worked through college. And I feel like he was like, oh, cool. I grew up in Japan.
Yeah. I also think that he has a tremendous amount of anxiety, just under the surface. Like somebody who says people my height have a shorter life expectancy is carrying around anxiety about everything.
And then Milton tells Lydia that he is falling for her. I feel bad saying this. This does not seem like a match to me. It just doesn't. I feel bad saying it. No. I want people to be happy, but this isn't going to work. And she just keeps repeating what he says. He's like, I see my life with you. And she goes, I see my life with you. And he's like, I just really think we vibe. Mm-hmm. I know. I think we vibe. Do you think this is a match?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like she's just trying to sound like she's in it. And I wrote, I can't get a handle on this relationship. Like it just doesn't make sense to me at all.
So you agree. You don't think they're a match, really?
No, I don't think they're a match. Unfortunately, I think that Lydia really wants to be on television.
Yeah. I agree. So now we go to the men's quarters and the dudes are pumping iron. What do you bench, bro? And the women are drinking. Okay, cool. We're on a date with Johnny and Izzy.
He's clearly telling her, this isn't gonna work, right?
The minute I see Izzy, his foot is tapping.
Yeah.
He looks annoyed. I was like, why are you mad? Are you mad at me? he doesn't look concerned. He looks pissed. I know he's not pissed.
You know, some people, men especially, have trouble separating out anxiety from anger.
And basically he was like, listen, I know you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you the differences between you and my other girlfriend.
Gross.
Have a seat. Take notes if you feel like
fucking
it.
Fucking gross.
And he was like, we're super close. Now I like her better. I understand he's trying to be honest, but I'm like, the bedside manner is lacking.
Yeah, and I wrote that she's so much more level-headed than I would be. I don't know, again, if it's level-headedness or just like this weird... When I called her a sociopath, I was mostly joking. Like, I don't think she's a sociopath, but I think she is kind of cut off from her emotions. Like, if that had been me, woof, it would have been a yucky scene in there.
He kind of keeps driving the point home. He's like, my relationship with her, super easy, super fun. She's like, yeah, well, me and Chris were totally like that. So I don't know how you felt watching this. I felt like she was sort of selling herself to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she was like, we're gonna have a life and I am the one. It was like,
God.
It's not a used car. It's not a competition. Know your worth. Don't try and chase after someone who is clearly telling you that he doesn't want you. I still think Chris is better for her. I felt like she was really trying to pitch it.
Yes. It is so funny that you brought up a used car because literally in the next scene she sounds like a used car salesman.
And Izzy starts getting emotional. And you're so right. I didn't even think of that. She does not shed a tear.
Yeah.
And then finally she says, are you breaking up with me? And he is.
Yep.
I was like, oh my stars.
Yeah.
And he says, this is my least favorite sentence in the English language. Again, my secondary platform for my run for Congress will be that we nix this from our vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you nothing but the best.
Please, please, go fuck yourself.
Shut the fuck up. I want you to, every time you shave your legs, to shave them with a rusty razor.
I want four wasps to fly up your asshole and set up camp. Up there.
I want every time you bite into a chocolate chip cookie, it to be an oatmeal raisin.
And your teeth shatter on it.
Yeah, just stop saying that. And she feels blindsided. I wrote she's not crying. Yeah. This just backs up your point. She says she feels numb and she goes back to the quarters and she tells the other women. And then they kind of start talking nasty about Stacy. Yeah. Listen, I don't like Stacy either, but dimming someone else's light doesn't make your light shine brighter. She was like, they'll break up in a month. She's the wrong choice. And if she is, that's fine. It's just, that's never a good look.
It is not. And this, and she said something similar in the last episode. She was like, he's just not going to be happy with Stacy. And it's like, okay, but you, but that's not for you. You know, that's not for you to decide. And like, this is like yucky 1990s behavior. We don't do this anymore.
We don't do this anymore. And then we're watching this in real time. I'm taking notes in real time. And she says something, and I don't know what's going to happen because I'm just writing it down. But she says, I heard Chris was really upset about our breakup, and now I'm wondering if I did the wrong thing. I was like, so help me, baby Jesus. Yeah. If you go back and boomerang to Chris, I hate to say I told you so. That's a fucking lie. I'm kidding. I love that shit. I said Chris was a better guy. He is categorically a better guy. And then she's like, I just want someone to love me for me. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was Chris, honey.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
No, she is all twisted up. And then we go back to Izzy and Stacy. And, you know, she's like, hey, babe, what's up?
Yeah.
And he says, ugh, the amount of drama I have had. And I'm like,
has it been drama? Like, this whole thing is drama.
Yeah.
You are on a streaming platform putting your love life out for entertainment. That is drama. Yeah. I felt like he was blaming the women. Those women aren't drama. Did I miss something? You're in a dramatic situation.
Yeah, bro. Like, this is not you meeting up with your dudes for wings and being like, man, I'm on the apps and it's a lot of drama. Like, come on.
Yeah, but how good do wings sound
right
now?
Oh my God, I could eat a fucking plate of wings with some blue cheese.
Yeah, I could fuck up some wings. Oh, thank God you said blue cheese. I knew I loved you for a reason. Thank God you said blue cheese. Because, you know, there are sociopaths on this planet masquerading as human beings who would say ranch.
That is the incorrect choice. That is the incorrect choice.
But they're allowed to freely walk amongst us.
I think that needs to be part of your platform.
God damn it. All right. You've got to be my campaign manager. I have way too much to do in life.
All right.
Actually, Izzy tells Stacy that he broke up with Johnny. And actually, I have to give her credit. She says something very mature. She's like, I'm going to stay out of it. I'm not going to say anything. And I was like, actually weird, because Johnny's been talking shit about you behind your back and slinging mud. And then I was like, oh shit, are me and Daisy backing the wrong horse right now? Because Stacy was actually mature. She was like, I know that you cared for her. And she was pretty mature about it, I thought.
Yeah. But I also, the feeling that I got from her, and maybe, again, this is just because I don't like her, but it didn't feel like she was happy to have Izzy. It felt like she was happy she won. She said in the first episode, I never fail. And it just, to me, it seems like she's like, oh, good, I won this.
You're totally right.
And then to me, it looked like Izzy, and again, it could be the editing, but it looked to me like Izzy immediately was like, oh no, what have I done? Did you get that?
I felt like Izzy seemed really happy.
Oh, that's weird.
I was like, is he gonna propose? He still feels needy to me. He's like, it's always I. He says a lot of I sentences. You know, I've never had a woman like me the way that you do. I'm scared. I need reassurance. I prematurely balded, and that makes me a sad baby. Which is hilarious, because like, I actually think Izzy is really attractive.
I know you're into him. You are hot for Izzy.
I'm not into his attitude. I'm really not. I get that he's talking about all these insecurities. We're all walking open wounds. But also, like, I'm not on a TV show for millions of people to judge my insecurities and my bad decisions. So.
Right. You have done this to yourself.
Yeah. And as a reminder, Izzy and Stacy, though they're kind of each other's only and top choice, they have not said I love you yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because they were talking about when they were going to say it and when they felt ready. Who said I love you first with you and Kurt?
Probably me. And I was probably drunk, and it was probably like a messy mess. How about you? Joey.
Any of my loves? I never say it first because I'm just a big old scaredy cat. I've never said it first in my entire life. And that's not a flex. That I am a mess.
I think I've mostly said it first because I was incredibly needy. I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
The conversation, what it looked like to me, and maybe this is where I thought Izzy looked like he stepped on a landmine, was that conversation about love. Because he's basically like, when do you think you might be ready to say that. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, there will come a time when the feelings in myself mm-hmm. align with the things that are around. Yeah. And I will, at that point, assess where I am and take it to an analyst. And then at that point, I might be ready to say it. And that's when I think it cut to Izzy and he just looked like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was a lot of word soup. It was a lot of words without saying a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're back at the men's flat and we learn exactly what I thought. I love being right. It's honestly a gift.
Yeah.
Johnny wants to talk to Chris. I get this feeling that the men are actually really open with each other, which I think is cool because they all need support. It's a weird situation. But Chris rightfully says, he's like, it doesn't feel great to be someone's backup. And then he makes a joke about Izzy holding it over his head for the rest of his life. I was like, good on you, Chris. Call out the elephant in the room and we love you, you foster dogs.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, this is weird and this is how it feels and good for you. But what does he do? He goes ahead and goes and talks to her. I mean, I guess, look, you know, he might as well, right? But, ooh.
I get it because it's like, your brain doesn't want to talk to her, but remember your heart and your brain work in opposition. Your heart communicates with your brain more than your brain communicates with your heart. I get it because love is a chemical reaction. It's hard on us all, and you can't rely on your heart and your mind to work in tandem, even though they should. You got to orchestrate the shit out of that. You know, it's got to be a dance. So he's like, I still really like her, but I know she rejected me. So I get why he goes and talks to her. I probably would have done the same.
Yeah, I would have too. But I'm just, he's going into it. And I'm like, please just keep your hat on, you know?
Yeah, which I'm sure he won't do. So he goes in and Johnny's like, I guess you heard Izzy broke up with me, but I'm still trying to pursue something with you. I was like, actually, no, you broke up with him. That is what a breakup is.
Right. And she literally says the opposite to Chris that she said to Izzy. This is where she's like, you know, you are the safe choice and I've never gone with the safe choice. This is when she says, I feel like with Izzy it would be more exciting. And Chris is like, well, that doesn't feel great that you think I wouldn't be exciting. But she said the exact opposite to Izzy, which was like, Chris is the safe choice, and I always go with the safe choice.
It was, yes, she definitely got caught in a lie. And she was like, when I heard that you got upset at our breakup, I thought, fuck, he cares. I was like, babe, again, he told you that he cares. You knew you broke his heart. Like, don't play those reindeer games here. And we've all done it. Less available men are viewed as more desirable. What's wrong with us?
I don't know. But that's the whole, like, The Ring. Was that what it was called? That book that everyone was reading in, like, the early 2000s about, like, how to get engaged?
Oh, God. I did not read that book.
Oh, me neither. But part of it is, like, part of the strategy is be unavailable.
Yeah.
You know?
Ugh. I don't play that game. I've never played the hard to get game. I'm like, if I want to talk to you, I'm going to text you. If I want to tell you I like you, I'm going to do that. And Chris is so face value. He's so not complicated. He's really not. And that's probably not exciting because he's saying what he wants. And it was kind of like what I was saying about Milton in the last episode. Women say they want that, but then they actually don't. And he says, oh my gosh, I thought of you when he said this. He goes, I want to be with you. And she goes,
Yeah. Their interaction is incredibly cringy. And this is where I thought she started to sound like a used car salesman. She went in hard on the sales pitch of her. And then she ends this long monologue about why they're right for each other. So are we ready for an engagement?
Where did you catapult to? Another planet. What fucking planet are you on?
She might as well have said, so are we ready to sign on this fucking hunk of junk used car? Like,
here's your new Toyota Tercel. Don't forget to tune her up every 6 months.
Give it a date or two before you try to 180 like that. Jesus.
I just think Chris is precious. I will protect him at all costs.
Yeah.
So Chris goes back to the men's living quarters and
he says he has to think about it, and she seems really hurt.
He's going to say yes. I don't even know he says yes, and I just know he's going to say yes. He loves her. What can he do? He can't help it. He goes back to the living quarters. Uche and Izzy and JP and some man I have never seen in my life. I'm pretty sure he just works for craft services on set. And they were like,
shit, can you sit down at the table? We need a body there.
Chad, can you just sit with the guys? Who is that guy? I don't know. He recaps what they talked about. Basically, Chris tells Izzy everything. They kind of put their stories together and they're like, that's sort of not what she told me. But I don't think Izzy is trying to be a dick. I actually think that Izzy likes Chris, because when Johnny was talking about Chris, Izzy was like, no, he's actually a really solid dude. So I don't think he has any vested interest into fucking Chris's life up at all. I just think he was like, I think she said something a little different to me.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a fuck you. Yeah. It sounded like a please be careful, because that's not the story that I got.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
And now we go back to the women's quarters and they pan on some bananas. So.
Yeah, well, because they're eating. Yeah. Come on.
They're eating. We got some fruit and veg. We had the carbs the other day. They're going to need fruit and veg.
The bagels were empty calories. So could we have something nutritious looking?
We learned that the mystery man at the table was actually a man by the name of Connor, and his number one is Miriam. Remember Miriam from the first episode, the scientist who made cosmetics, but we weren't sure what the cosmetics were, and we weren't sure if she was just coming on guys' faces.
Yeah, she gives facials, and it's an experience, and she won't talk about it.
And then there's another dude we've never seen, and he's just, like, sitting there eating deli meats. I'm like, are we just CGI-ing dudes? Is this AI? Is this what we're talking about when we talk about AI? I don't know. I'm here for the conspiracy theories.
I also got real excited when he mentioned Miriam. I was like, oh, good. Now we get to know what that is.
Yeah. We haven't seen her since episode one, that 30 seconds we got of her in episode one.
Yeah.
But good luck, Connor and Miriam. We're rooting for you.
I hope it works. I hope it works. And I hope you get some nice facials out of it.
Yeah. Now I feel like the girls are having a little drinky drunk moment, because Lydia and Aaliyah are cuddling on the couch and Aaliyah's like, I'm in love. And I'm like, no.
I know. And then she starts saying, but I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. And I'm like, girl, listen to yourself.
No, this is all hard to gauge. Yeah. And I do feel like they are drinking. But sure. I'm confused what's happening, because she's talking about Uche and Lydia starts crying. And I'm thinking that she's crying because she doesn't have that with Milton. And it probably a little bit of the alcohol, but her reaction seemed odd to me.
That's interesting. I thought she was just being incredibly empathetic and drunk. You know, I thought she was just being that girlfriend that's like, I'm right here with you. I'm going to cry with you. You know, I don't think she thinks about Milton when he's not there.
Yeah.
I don't think he exists in her reality.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if she saw Aaliyah feeling these real emotions and Lydia's like, I don't have this and I thought I would or something. I don't know. She just seemed emotional. But you know what? We all get emotional when we drink. So
we sure do. I am a crier.
Same.
But then Aaliyah goes in to a date with Uche.
Everybody take a break right now and grab a Lumi gummy. That's not a sponsor. I just really, really love them. Because this Mr. took me for a ride that I did not pay for. I didn't even have enough tickets for this ride.
No.
I only had like 6 tickets left and the ride was like 12 tickets.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I guess I'll go on that stupid ride because I only have 6 tickets left because I'm not going to buy another book.
No.
Because I want to save money for the fried Oreos.
Yeah, for the funnel cake. Uche is starting to open up. We've learned that he's a poet. And he has written a beautiful poem for Aaliyah. I mean, this poem is like every woman's dream, you know, of like, I want to be with a poet and he's going to pour forth this love from his soul.
I wrote you a little poem.
Do you want me to read it out loud?
Yeah, you can read it out loud.
I walk in nervous. I hear your voice. You say my name. You are my choice. I'm excited now. I lose my poise. You destroy the fear. You drown the noise. Your love is rich. I'm feeling poor. You open up. I'm reassured. I think of you. I drift to sleep. How will we feel the day we meet?
The one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish of it all.
Yeah, I wrote, my heart is true. You're wearing blue. When I'm asleep, I dream of sheep. Let's go to town. You'll wear a gown. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Let's Netflix and chill.
Oh, actually, that's fucking hilarious. That's better than his stupid fucking poem. I don't trust his motives. I don't trust his fucking poems. Yikes. I don't trust his bad fucking rhymes.
I'm like, did you really go up on stage at coffee houses and read that that shit?
You need your poet's license taken away immediately, if not sooner, whatever that means. Aaliyah loves it, and she's like, this is really scary, but I trust you with my heart. Yeah. I was like, what gave you any indication that that was a good thing to do?
Yeah.
And she's like, I know you'll always be open, honest, and straightforward.
Because you have been those things this whole time.
And then he goes, I have something to tell you.
Oh,
and I was like, you know, they add that dramatic music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, for fucking out loud, what is happening?
For fucking out loud, what is this gonna be?
I was like, you raked her over the coals for that secret. That, you know, I can't wait to hear what this is. And then he says, there is someone I've dated in the past who's here. And I was like, sweet, whorish mother of Christ, what is about to come out of his mouth?
Who of all of the women in that pod, in that quarters, in the women's quarters, of all of the women, all of the 15 women that have sat and listened and consoled and hugged and pep talked Aaliyah, who is it going to be that he dated outside of these pods, that are in these pods? Who could it possibly be other than Lydia?
Son of a fuck. Are you kidding me? And of course that is where the episode ends.
Right.
And I did not watch on.
No.
The amount of self-control that I have exhibited during making this podcast honestly is award-worthy. I don't need your accolades, but I could use an edible arrangement. I don't know. Or some chocolate-covered strawberries.
It takes a huge level of restraint to not keep going. Again, talk about telenovela. This is daytime soap opera. This is the height of daytime soaps.
I am not well. No. I am unwell. I did not see that coming.
No.
I have felt something was off with Lydia, but I just thought she was just a wackadoo. She was a lot. She loves rocks. She loves her Puerto Ricanness. I don't know. Holy moly, we have never seen this on this show. Are you joking? It makes sense, though. They're all in the Houston area.
Well, this is the thing, is that they could never do Queer Love is Blind because everybody will have fucked everybody else in those pods. Like, it's that community is so incestuous. I'm sure that every queer person is watching this and going, how have they not all fucked each other? They live in the same city. So, yeah, they could never make the queer version of this show because it would end after five. Oh, no, I dated you. Oh, no, I dated you. Nope, we definitely dated. Nope, we definitely fucked.
Right. You heard it here. If you guys want to cancel Daisy Egan, she's at Daisy Egan because she hates queer people.
I hate queer people. But, yeah, it is interesting that it's never happened before. And here it is, the two main players. Now, let me ask you this, Ellen. Do you think that this is really just an anomaly? Do you think this really is just like a nugget of gold that just dropped into the producer's laps? Or do you think that there was a lot of nudging and cajoling behind the scenes to craft this?
How would they have found out that they dated before, though? I mean, it's not like they're like, do you know any of these people before they go into
No,
pods?
But I think once they found out, like, wouldn't they have found out?
Oh, do you think the producers were like, you know, it would be really fun if you got close to Aaliyah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could not stop thinking about what those dates must have been like between Uche and Lydia, with her just being like, I'm broken, I'm broken, I'm broken, I need love. And him just being like, why are you broken? Why do you need love? Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong with me. Just how torturous those dates must have been.
You know what? Someone in our Patreon made a really great observation that I didn't think of. Uh-huh. She said, my husband always says he feels like he's being cross-examined during an argument. And did I ever feel that when Uche gave Aaliyah hell for answering a question? I didn't even think about his sort of lawyer tendencies to aggressively ask questions with his edges were sharp. He didn't sand down those edges at all. I didn't really think of him being a lawyer. And remember, Aaliyah's an ICU nurse.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe that people with that kind of job, she has to have a certain level of empathy, and yeah. she just kind of is very emotional. That's a job not for the weak of heart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about him and his career aiding to the fact that he just sort of bam, 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 went after her. That was a great point. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire. You can come write for us when the writer's strike is over. He is a lawyer through and through, and he seems to not be able to separate out his work personality from his relationship personality.
Well, we will see how this bizarre love triangle cue music pans out on the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
I'm learning as we go. I am going to note even better than I have been noting. To keep up with you, Ellen.
What do you mean? You're doing a great job.
You're so good and detailed, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even write down that they went back to the quarters. So I'm
a wackadoo. Joey says this all the time. I notice shit. I'm like, yeah, but did you see what was on the table behind them? He's like, no, I fucking didn't. That's totally me. I don't have a normal brain. I see things, but then I can't remember where I fucking parked my car in a mall parking lot. You know? Like, I will be like, yeah, but did you notice that her red purse? No, that is totally me. You're doing a great job. And we both love this show.
We do.
And
we
this
do.
Is good. I'm liking this season a lot.
I am too. I have no idea where it's going to go. You know, hopefully Chris comes to his senses. Hopefully Aaliyah comes to her senses. We got to have a sit down with Lydia and ask her what WTF, girl, because... honestly.
WTF. We'll find out on the next episode. Until then, please follow us on socials at Grabbag Collab. There's tons of amazing content we hope you guys are checking out. And you can find me on socials at Ellen Marsh, spelled with a Y. I would also love you to check out my other podcasts, I Think Not Pod, with the dashing Joey Taranto, and my true crime talk show with the not very cool, not very important Rabia Chaudhry. You can find us at Rabia and Ellen, and I would love to connect with you in all other ways.
Yeah, Ellen is a master connector on social media. Everyone needs to take lessons. You can find me you can find me at Daisy Egan. It's E-A-G-A-N. You can find my other podcast, Strange and Unexplained, wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Thursday. And we just introduced a new Patreon. patreon.com/strangeandunexplained. And my other podcast on Grab Bag Collab is Dear Daisy. You can find that on Instagram at Dear Daisy Pod. And please send me a letter. I've been getting more letters coming in. I'm so excited. I love, love, love doing that podcast. I love connecting with people in that way. So send me letters. Check out
it's
the
so
catalyst.
Good. I love Thank it. You. I love listening to that podcast. I'm going to send you a letter. I just have so many problems I need you to solve. I haven't decided which one I'm going to go first.
Send them all one by one. But yeah, check out the catalyst on Grab Bag Collab and spread the word.
Spread the word. Also, if you have a question for us or something you want us to talk about the episode, head to our Patreon page. That's where we can connect with all of the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And just let's start the conversation there, because this shit is about to get crazy. We're going to have proposals. Mm-hmm. We're going to have their vacations. We're going to have the weddings coming up. It's just going to get crazier. So connect with us and tell us your feelings about what you think is happening on the season thus far. And also tell us if you think Nick Lachey should shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
I love making this podcast with you, Daisy.
Oh,
thank you
so
much.
You are my favorite.
You are my favorite. Until next episode, thank you, everybody. And we will see you right back here for our next episode of Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.